You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? Welcome to another episode of the Bison Report Radio Podcast, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. I am Ross Uglum, the publisher of Bison Report, and joining me on a pregame Friday, Blake the intern. Blake, how are you?
Doing fine. Good to be back. After a really fun day in the dome on Saturday, so it'll be a different environment this week for sure, but it was a good week.
It was. We might sound a little better this week, which is okay. You didn't even know I was hiding like the good podcast equipment in a drawer here.
I did not.
Yeah.
I love it.
We've been sloughing it with the lavalier mics, and now we're back with the good equipment. And honestly, that took 4 minutes. I don't know why we haven't just been doing this. I was like really intimidated by setting up the old mixing board, and it took 4 minutes.
Feels like we're back in the studio.
I know.
Horace.
While Blake, by the way, just sat on a chair and stared at me. Thanks for the help.
Absolutely. Anytime. I plugged him in.
Yeah, you sure did. All right. Into the news. Grant Nelson just signed a two-way deal with the New Brooklyn Nets. New Jersey, Brooklyn? Brooklyn.
Somewhere in New York.
Yeah, area. Brooklyn Nets. Yeah. And that's awesome. You definitely are rooting for him and rooting for Jackson Mooney and anybody else that, you know, has a chance there at the NBA level. That would be such a cool thing. I know it'll say Alabama next to his name, but he's still a North Dakota native, still certainly spent more time at North Dakota State. Good family, good kid. Would be fun to watch. Fun to see him have a sustained level of success for sure. The men's basketball schedule is out. Pretty good schedule, I think. The comment from Nate Zastro was Dave must think he's pretty good, or Dave must think they're pretty good. I agree. I mean, they do think that. That run out west will be interesting. 3 games in 6 days, St. Mary's, San Francisco, and Bakersfield. You're gonna get a baptism out there. I mean, I don't know how good Bakersfield is, but San Francisco and St. Mary's are usually nothing to just, you know, notch wins in. Especially on the road.
St. Mary's gets in regardless of if they win the tournament.
I know they're an at-large bid club, yeah, for sure. Really good, I think, fun home games. Opportunity to play Illinois State at home. Mason Claybo's homecoming. Bowden Scumberg no longer there, but Mason Claybo will be there. Get Bakersfield a second time at North Dakota State, which will be fun, and an opportunity to play UC Davis. A fun little wrinkle is the fact that they are going out to Washington State to play the Cougs in a home and home that will be returned in Fargo. Washington State going to come to NDSU and play. Probably, I don't know if it'll be the best team, but certainly with their Pac-12 history, I would say Washington State would be the biggest brand to play men's basketball in Fargo since Kansas State.
And what year was that?
I was in college.
Okay.
So it's been a long time. But yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, I think that ETSU team that came to NDSU, that came to Fargo was a really big deal. But in general, just from a mascot standpoint, from a logo standpoint, I mean, that's as big as it gets for for a club that they have actually gotten to agree to come to play in Fargo. It's a tough ask. Scheduling is always a tough ask.
Yeah, I think they did a good job. You know, they talk about all the time, like they're not power fours. What do you call them? High majors.
Yeah.
They don't want to schedule NDSUs very often, right? They want their quad ones, their quad fours. But to get this kind of mid-major schedule, Colorado State, they got that three-game, what's it called, Snake River Invite in Idaho?
MTE. Yeah. I just call them MTE.
Boise Drake in North Texas. I mean, that's pretty good. I think they did a really good job. And, you know, they had to add two more with Denver leaving.
Yeah.
It's a really good job by the staff, I think. I think it'll be a fun year, like you said, with the roster. And don't know who will play right away, but like you said, it seems like Dave really likes.
Well, now red shirts are nothing.
Yeah,
it's 5 for 5. So red shirts are nothing. It's I wouldn't call it a free for all, but I'm interested to see how this all goes. Pro Bison on the football side, 14 total, 3 of them on the practice squad. Cam and Cordell are cut. I'm not going to pretend to have a lot of insight into Cordell. I think Cam will get another chance. You know, quarterbacks get hurt, and just still, I mean, he has interesting physical tools to work with, a lot of experience, a ton of starts. I just think, you know, my God in heaven, if Max Brosmer is on a practice squad, Cam Miller should be on a practice squad.
You're not wrong.
Just, I tell you what. Okay. Jacksonville State, man, that was a lot of fun. Great environment, more than 18,500 people. The crowd on the first touchdown was loud. I could, like, that McCants touchdown, not only did the crowd go ballistic, but what a throw. I still can't get over that throw. I think the math was like 65 yards because it was far hash.
Yep.
And then, what, 35 yards down the field?
35
whatever. Yards down the field, and then far hash.
Yeah, on a rope.
On a rope. I honestly think I think the safety didn't think he could fit it there. Was probably my guess.
I suppose. You know, you see comments like, oh, well, the safety just wasn't like, which whatever, but live.
I mean, the ball barely got out of the frame of the all 22.
Yeah. Yeah, that if you haven't seen that end zone shot,
you
know what I'm talking about. The end zone shot of the all-22.
That looked like young Aaron Rodgers. I'm not making the comp here. But eventually then they kind of talked to Rodgers about putting a little bit more loft on his deep balls. But Rodgers would make like 45 and 50-yard throws that were flat just because he could, because he was a space alien. And Nathan Hayes with that 93-mile-an-hour fastball is kind of a similar space alien. And I'm not making the comp. That's an insane comp. I don't even know if Nathan is an NFL prospect. But those types of downfield throws that stay flat are not normal. Like, no. it's not a normal thing.
I think I tweeted from the account, like, that is an NFL throw. And it's nothing against any of the quarterbacks who have played here.
Right.
I don't think anyone but number two is getting that throw completed.
Trey, maybe. Carson, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It was very impressive. You know, it was weird.
The audacity to even attempt was what stuck with me. The idea to even try it, I thought was crazy.
Yeah, and he didn't even get to showcase much in the second half. I think he attempted three passes, and two of them got wiped out because of penalty. You know, in the first half, he was pretty good. There were a couple throws. The interception was not ideal. Threw it behind his receiver.
That's a cardinal sin.
Yeah.
It's a card to you. you have to protect the ball and at least allow your punter to get you out of there, which, by the way, if we're talking about things to be concerned about, I did not love that first punt by young Master Bickerton.
Yeah, I don't think he loved it either. Watched him on the sideline and the helmet went into the into the net. But, yeah, no, he was impressive just offensively. I know I didn't write it down this way, but the running backs in the second half, your guy Pooney. Your guy Pooney.
Yeah.
There was, I believe it was Adam Bredeman, you know, who was on the call for the game. He did a little breakdown of that in the All-22, the end zone shot of, I think it was like a 25-yard run on a power.
I'd just say A-gap power, yeah.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
It was. It was. And that A-gap power thing is really cool. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, so power, I would say traditionally is your front side three offensive linemen, center guard, tackle, are blocking down and the backside guard pulls around. Now on power, normal power, that backside guard is actually pulling laterally, kind of. They're trying to kick out a defensive end normally or a strong side linebacker. A-gap power is more of a shuffle step where the backside guard does not turn his shoulders to the sideline. The shoulders stay downhill and the run goes downhill. And when it works, it is a glorious, glorious thing. And you're right, Brenneman. I mean, and it wasn't just power that was working, but I thought they were really effective when they got under center. You know, they became such a shotgun team under Cam Miller and Cole Payton. And I don't know if that's just a decision that Dan Larsen has made or if Hayes is more comfortable under center or if it's just a one-game sample size. But I just thought that they had some real success in kind of some of the more traditional NDSU stuff and some of the more even just traditional football stuff. I think, like I said, really, really shotgun heavy with Miller and Payton, I think. And I think some of that might have even started with Trey Lance because he was just so lethal as a scrambler and just kind of snapping him the ball in shotgun and then calling design QB run, read option. Like, there were just a lot of really scary things that you could do with Trey Lance from the shotgun formation. Yeah, the defense I thought was unbelievable. You noted it here. 85 rushing yards. And the play of the game, or not necessarily play of the game, but the I think the possession of the game, and TP called this out in the press conference, I think on Tuesday, was when Nathan Hayes throws that interception and the defense doesn't allow a touchdown. And then they get the cheapy touchdown at the, and cheapy's not the right word, but like, then they get the touchdown right before the half that they had no business with those 7 points on the board. Really, they had no business with 3 points on the board. But it's a 14-point swing or a 10-point swing. Or it's a massive, massive swing in the game. Plus, everybody's now buzzing, you know, half to, if it's 10-10 or 14-10 Jacksonville State, or even just still 10-7 NDSU, I think you're just going to have kind of different vibes in the stadium. Halftime was like a party in and of itself. I just thought the environment was crazy.
Yeah, it absolutely was. There was our SID, Ryan Perlp, in the media release this week he listed something about the middle eight under Tim Polasek. I'm trying to look for it right now, but under Tim Polasek, they've outscored their opponents 248-53 in the final four of the first half and first four of the second half. Most of that's been in the first half.
That's the opposite of men's basketball.
Correct. This has been multiple years. Anyway, 172-50 in the last four of the first half under Polasek. And this was just another example of that. Jacksonville State could have taken the points there. Shout out DJ Volts. That was big time.
He was so good.
He was so good.
He was so good.
And I wonder, you know, this is jumping the gun a little bit, but with Air Force, when that comes around, they're not going to throw the ball very much. These corners are going to have to factor into the tackle game. And he's going to make plays like that, and he shows that he can. But, Nathan mentioned in the press conference after the game that, you know, I can't take that sack there. Right, that was right before
yeah.
touchdown. So like you said, no business even scoring. I mean, shout out Drew Klein. He might have made a kick anyway, but yeah, that was it changed the tide entirely. I
agree. I totally agree. Kelton McCaslin and Donovan Woolen, very good. The offensive line got better in the second half. The right side up and down. Yeah. Kenny had a really rough rep where he just got bull rushed to his seat of his pants. And that's why I kind of brought up just in general, like, how much of a competition is this? Because if they like Okeson, either Tosted brother and then Stumas, how, like I said, how much of it is a real competition? Or, you know, and look, man, like, you get a bad game. You can have one. You know, it's just that was sort of a question mark coming into last year. I thought there were times, or this year, excuse me, I thought there were times last year when I had questions about just Megan in general too. So I don't know. I don't know what the good answers are. But these are champagne problems. I mean, you beat a team that's been to two straight conference USA championship games, winning the one 2 years ago by 26 points. These are champagne problems.
Yeah, I mean, they like other guys. Obviously, Tosted started. I mean, I think he started every game last year. So he's an option. I know he's coming back from an injury. They kind of have mentioned him as a swing tackle, kind of.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. But, you know, not to bag on him or anything, but, like, you know, Megan, I think there were, it was like, is he even going to start next year?
Yeah.
Is Kane,
well, he's not a tackle anymore, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Kenny was not part of this at this point last year. Obviously, Babbitts was the strongest kid on the team as a true freshman.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously he's held his own, but we'll see. Like you said, first world champagne problems. But like Coach said this week, it'll be more about themselves and their opponents. So I think we can focus on that.
And that's the biggest thing, right, with Fordham. I mean, it's a bad FCS team and a bad FCS league. You're going to want to get a lot of different guys in, stay healthy. There's just not that much to preview or to say before this one. I just don't think it's that big of, like, I don't know what to talk about, if that makes sense. It's there's nothing to break down. They're going to win by 50. Fordham is not good. NDSU is good. I don't know what else to say. As much as we would love to give you, like, oh, these are the guys to watch or whatever, you're watching the Bison and how you think maybe young skill position players can come along, or does the offensive line gel a little bit more, or pick your poison. What young pass rusher gets a sack? Like, can Blake Schultz, you know, follow up his performance from last week? These are your big questions, not can they win the game? They're going to win the game.
Yeah, it feels like games of the later FCS era.
Yeah.
Where, like, Tennessee State, St. Thomas, Murray State, obviously. I don't know how early some of these guys are going to get in the game.
I bet it's early enough.
Bet it's early enough. Maybe three quarterbacks if you want to get that ambitious. Number of running backs, O-line. Be cool to see some young, like you said, with the 5-for-5, man, just get guys out there. But yeah, there's nothing to break down. They've won three games since 2024 in a horrible league.
So this will be a short version of the Bison Report Radio podcast, just football to break down and not that much football to break down. We will be back with you next week, really previewing a big-time game. That'll be a longer podcast. The Air Force thing is a huge deal. I think it's going to set them up potentially to start receiving votes if they're able to win that game. It's just a major fulcrum point in the schedule. If your eyes are on 9 or 10 wins, winning this game at Air Force is a major fulcrum point on the schedule. Now, I'm not saying you can't lose it, but again, if it's protect home field and snag a couple of road games, Air Force needs to be one of the ones that you snag, in my opinion.
I mean, they're already talking about, like, the Memphis-UNLV game. UNLV plays Hawaii this week.
Yeah.
They could very well go 0-2
yeah.
to start the year as one of the preseason favorites.
And so, we'll have a full slate too of being able to break down the rest of the league. Yeah, so we haven't had a chance to talk a ton of Mountain West. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great rest of your weekend. And of course, go Bison.